Hi, I'm Keegan.
And I'm Madigan.
And you're listening to
Your Angry Neighborhood Feminist. This is the podcast where we explore the world through our own personal feminist perspectives.
Yes.
And we have champagne.
Some
champagne. Yes. I'm going to try really hard not to burp because I will burp when
bubbles.
I drink anything bubbly.
Ugh, I love champagne.
I'll try to like stifle my burp so I'm not just like bleh, and just
headache juice. I mean, actually, I hear a lot of people say that about champagne, that it like
headache
gives
juice?
Them like really bad headaches or really
bad
hangovers.
Oh, yeah, I hear that too.
But I don't really feel like it's worse than, to me, champagne is better than like red wine.
My best drunk self is when I'm drunk on champagne.
On champagne is like fun drunk.
Everyone else I've talked to though is like, oh, it's the worst. It's the worst.
Why?
And I'm like, no, it's the, I am the most fun. I will make an ass of myself and not give a shit. I'm like outgoing and like ready to stay up all night.
I want to know what your complaints are if you don't like.
Is it just the hangover?
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with how much fun you're having the night of.
That's true.
I don't know. Anyway.
Anywho.
This has been Champagne Corner. I don't have anything particularly horrifying. Do you?
I don't either. I do have a fire in the Amazon update, though.
So do I.
Okay. Cool.
We always have the same shit.
Yeah.
Do we want to start with that?
I was kind of thinking we could. Do you have anything else that you'd like rather start with?
Well, the only reason why I was thinking about starting with something else is because I have a little bit of a happy ending to this story. Kind of, sort of.
Okay, then start with the worst thing that you think.
Okay, I mean, it's not bad, but I have some details about the next debates.
Okay.
So the next debates have been announced. So in September, there's only going to be 10 candidates taking the stage for the Democratic presidential debate.
Okay.
More than half the field failed to meet their donor and polling requirements.
Which, honestly, bye. Like, there's too many of you. Let's weed you out.
I think they actually said this was, like, a historically high number.
I wouldn't doubt that at all.
Of candidates. Like, it was an insane number. We had, like, 25 or something at the start of this.
Right.
And a couple fell off before the last debates. Mm-hmm. And now something like 10 have fallen off of this. That doesn't mean they've withdrawn, though.
No.
It just means that
they're not in the debate.
Are not in the debates, which
Got
is
it.
Kind of critical. So the people who are still in this are Joe Biden, Cory Booker, Pete Buttigieg, Julian Castro, Kamala Harris, Amy Klobuchar, Beto O'Rourke, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and Andrew Yang. I am surprised Andrew Yang is still in this.
Yeah.
Really surprising to me.
Until you said that name, I was like, okay, that all makes sense.
Yeah, it all makes sense. I mean, he's not going to actually, like, really advance much further, I don't think.
Okay.
But he, I think, is a billionaire, so he probably has a lot of connections that helps donate to his campaign.
Yeah.
Kristen Gillibrand, Kirsten. Is it Kirsten?
I don't know. I just, she rubs me the wrong way. I don't know.
I mean, she's run her platform on, like, female empowerment and, like, you know, She was a loud voice during, like, Me Too and the Me Too movement, which I appreciate.
Same.
But there is something about her that I was just like, you just don't do it for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think I kind of felt the same way. There was nothing about her where I specifically was like, I don't like you because of XYZ. It's not that I don't like her. I don't like you for president because of XYZ. But there was something about her, like, she got a lot of female celebrities backing her, like, really early
on,
too. Yeah,
I'm actually kind of surprised that she is out so early. Like, she just made the decision, I think, after
Well, but
not...
is she out?
She has withdrawn
okay.
from the race. Yes.
Okay.
She made the decision, like, she, because I think she didn't make her requirements, she decided to kind of, like, gracefully step down, which
okay.
a lot of people are not doing. Like,
I mean, more power to her for doing that.
Yeah. De Blasio, I think, is his name. He's, like, the mayor of New York.
Yeah.
He is not doing that, and a lot of people are like, please, please, please. Like,
yeah.
It looks bad. It looks ungracious at this point for you
right.
to, like, continue
I think,
trying to do this.
I mean, that's what we talked about in the very beginning of all of this was, like, something Bernie Sanders said was, like, the main focus that we should be, you know, zeroing in on is making sure that we have somebody who will take Trump down. You know, it can't be a selfish, completely selfish race, of course. It's going to be selfish.
Right, I mean,
but
and the thing is, like, there's a lot of people. Someone stepped down, I think, a couple of weeks ago and decided to go try for his Senate seat in his state, which, like, there's a lot of people who, like, you should stop trying to be president and go back to your state and take your state back in, like, the Senate, you know, in these, like, Senate races because, like, right now there's a Republican, you know, representing your state
or
whatever.
I think that's a really good idea.
And you know what? And I actually really liked O'Rourke post the El Paso shootings, like the way that he kind of like he went back and he handled that, and I liked the way he did that. But I feel the same way about him. I'm like, I feel like you need to go back to Texas and, you know,
work on Texas. Yeah,
you know what I mean.
I feel like he would make a great VP, though.
I think he'd make an all right VP.
He and Pete Buttigieg, I feel like, would be good VPs.
I think Buttigieg would be a good VP. Buttigieg is very, like, not very centrist, but more centrist than a lot of the other candidates.
Yeah, him he's and, very clear
him about and his. Harris.
Yeah.
And I feel like they would pair up nicely with a more liberal candidate because it would help balance that out, you know?
Still love Pete, though.
I'm all right with Pete. I mean, I don't know. I'm not wild about him, but I'm okay with him. But Gillibrand did say that she will be, because she had quite a bit of support, which is why I'm a little surprised that she was unable to meet her requirements, but, she did say that she will be backing another candidate. She hinted that that will possibly be a female candidate. She would really like to see a woman in office. So
I hope that's, Elizabeth Warren.
I hope so, too. Warren has been gaining so much support. I think she's either, like, 1 point ahead or 1 point behind Biden right now. So,
which is surprising that Biden is still doing so well.
He has that, man, that name recognition will go far. And
For people who don't know anything else other than the name.
Right. Yeah, and he is the most centrist candidate.
Yeah.
So he is going to, until he does something dumb and completely fucks it up, which he's been doing a good job of like, minority communities.
Yeah.
Until, you know, he really messes something up, he is going to have that kind of, like, centrist, middle-of-the-roader vote.
It's just funny, because the kid that I take care of, we were talking about the election, and I was trying to explain to him the best I could about, like, what stage we're in. And
right.
Telling him how many candidates there were, and the debates are going on, yada, yada, yada. And he asked me who I wanted for president, and I'm like, you know, I'm not really sure yet. I have to kind of keep weighing my options. And I was like, well, what about you? Who do you want to be president? And he's like, I would say Biden or Sanders.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, of course the two names that are, like, so well-known. But I just thought that was really cute. He was
it is cute.
I would have to say, in my professional opinion.
I think that's so interesting. Now, I mean, it's interesting, and it also makes me a little sad. It makes me happy and sad. I'm happy that kids are more engaged, but it also makes me sad because they're more engaged because they have to be because of the kind of climate that we live in right now.
But I wish I had been, like, I was aware to a point when I was younger, but I wish that my parents had had more discussions with me about how all of that worked, because when I got older, I didn't really understand. I'm still struggling to understand a lot of the politics that go into an election and things like that. So I wish that I'd had more of those conversations, but his parents are very vocal about
it. Well, they should have been better at teaching us that in school. I feel like they didn't do a good enough job, like, teaching us how all of that worked. Like,
and teach us how to pay our taxes, man.
Yeah, focus more on how elections work and how our government works, and focus less on, like, long-form algebra, because I don't use that in my life at all. And you should be arming your citizens with knowledge on how their government works, you know?
This is why teachers are important. Okay. Yeah. Go on. My apologies.
Oh, no, I'm done. That's
You're
it.
You're done.
Yeah.
Well, let's update the good people of your Angry Neighborhood Feminist on what's going on with the Amazon fires. And isn't there something called, it's an Amazon Fire Stick, right? The company Amazon?
Yes. Which, if you Google Amazon Fire, it's like the first thing to show up, which is super sad.
It is, because I was writing it and I was like, Amazon Fire, isn't that a product?
It is, yes.
So the Brazilian government has deployed 44,000 troops to help fight the fires. But then also, world leaders from the G7 summit in France offered a $22 million aid package to help combat the fires. And the French president, Emmanuel Macron, said, "The Amazon forest is a subject for the whole planet. We can help your rainforest. We can find the means for the economic development that respects the natural balance, but we cannot allow you to destroy everything." Then the Brazilian president, Jair Bolsonaro, his chief of staff said that the money would be better put to use reforesting Europe. Did you read that?
I didn't read that. I mean,
reforesting, not deforesting. I can't remember what
you said. Reforesting.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. And the donation from France caused Bolsonaro to accuse France of treating Brazil like a colony. His chief of staff also said, like, made a jab at France, saying that they couldn't even prevent the fires at the Notre Dame Cathedral. Yikes. Which I'm like, what the fuck?
Yikes. I mean, I have heard that there's been a lot of talk in Brazil about this is a Brazilian problem.
Yes.
Everyone needs to stay out of it. Like, this isn't your business to come in here and save us, essentially. Like, this, like, white saviorism kind of, like, coming into this country and trying
Which
to save
I get,
it.
Like,
however, like, what Macron was saying is that it is a global issue, not just an issue for Brazil, because the Amazon rainforest represents the globe's lungs, you know, because they supply so much oxygen to the country or to the world. So, and I do agree with that.
Same.
I think that Bolsonaro is just a stubborn fucking man with a huge ego.
Oh, agreed.
Who just doesn't like at all that people are telling him what to do.
He wants to do it his way, even if it's not the right thing to do. He's not going to budge, is what I see from him. He's just a very stubborn, stubborn man-child.
Yeah, so he's basically saying he will not accept help unless he gets an apology.
Yeah.
Which is so fucking stupid. Like, you are a child. Honestly.
And he didn't really say, as far as what I've read, it didn't sound like he was attacking Bolsonaro directly. It seemed like he was trying to convince him to accept the help.
I think they got into it a little bit at, like, the G20 summit, where they were trying to come up with a resolution at the G20 summit. I could have this wrong, but this is what I recall from having read about it, where they were trying to come up with a solution at the G20 summit for a lot of environmental issues, and Macron did say something to Bolsonaro, basically saying that he, like, questioned his efforts in environmentalism, which he should, like, because
Agreed.
What he has done has caused these fires.
Right.
You know, and I do want to address just really quickly that, like, yes, we heard you. We did get a message talking about, like, you know, wanting us to go in more detail about, like, the effects of meat consumption on these fires. And it's true. They have contributed to these fires, because the more I read about it, the more they're clearing land for, like, cattle and things, for, like, cattle production. And so it's true, like, beef consumption is an issue. So it's not something we are trying to ignore or not bring up.
I've been eating a lot of, like, I made burgers the other night, and we used, like, the Beyond Burger meat. I've been trying really hard to limit my buying and my consumption of, like, red meat and beef and things like that, because I think that's a very small way to help. I've been telling a lot of, like, I told people I work for that that's a good way to help, and a lot of my friends.
Yeah,
and, like,
if everyone just did their best to, you know,
minimize.
Not consume as much, it would go a long way. So we didn't want it to come across as though we were ignoring that.
Yeah.
It is a big part of the problem. You know, it is part of what has caused these fires.
Exactly.
Is this huge kind of, like, beef industry across the world.
Right.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Of course.
I mean, I typically think he's probably a huge dick, but
oh yeah, but at least environmentally
he's pretty sound.
Gives a shit.
Look, we're all complex human beings.
Exactly.
And he's probably shitty in many ways, but in this one facet, he gets it. So he pledged $5 million to combat the Amazon rainforest fires, which is really amazing.
Did they accept it?
I don't know. Earth Alliance was created last month by DiCaprio and philanthropist Lorraine Powell Jobs. Is that Steve Jobs's wife? I wonder.
Couldn't tell you.
And Brian Sheath. And on Sunday, it launched the Amazon Forest Fund in an announcement on their website. So they are seeking donations for the Brazilian rainforest. I don't know if they'll be accepted or not.
Yeah.
I bet you Bolsonaro will have a slightly different, like,
a celebrity.
Right, it's different than a government coming in and, like, telling you what to do.
Right.
So, we'll see. We'll see if that works, but I do think it's a great gesture. And then the other thing, the kind of thing that made me a little happy, because when we talked last time about these fires last week, we had mentioned that in Ethiopia they had planted, like, 300 trees or something like that.
It was, like, 300 million.
Oh, yes, you're right.
350 million.
Yes, you're right. My bad. In Brazil, they planted 350 million trees, and we discussed that last week.
Yeah.
This week, I believe, Indians planted 220 million trees in a single day to combat climate change. So this was in Lucknow, India.
Okay.
They planted 220 million trees on Friday in a government campaign to tackle climate change and improve the environment in the country's most populous state.
Nice.
So that's amazing. So I kind of wanted to end it on a good note as far as, like, there are people out there really trying to combat this. It's an uphill battle. I don't think we're ever going to be able to undo the damage that we have done in the rainforest. And that is very scary, because something that we didn't really touch on last week was that not only is it a global issue because of the amount of, like, oxygen that it produces and the amount of, like, carbon dioxide that it absorbs, but it is also, the Amazon is home to so many, like, species of, like, it's...
Yeah, I mean, we did mention it very, very quickly last week about the indigenous people and the animals that are living there that are suffering.
Right, but, like, the ecosystem in the rainforest is so unique, and it houses, like, so many animals and, like, insects and, like, ecosystems that cannot be found anywhere else. So with the destruction of the rainforest, like, we are going to lose so much. And, like, of course, there's so much to cover with this, because, yes, with the indigenous peoples, this is essentially, like, a genocide.
Yeah.
Because, like, no one is doing anything in Brazil, as far as I have heard, to make sure that these people are safe and taken care of in any way.
I don't think they care.
So, yeah, I mean, and if you're a listener from Brazil, I know we have quite a few Latin America, South America, American listeners. If you are a listener from Brazil, please write in and let us know.
Please,
like, if you
have
firsthand, or, you know.
And when I say I don't think they care, I mean the government.
Right.
The individual Brazilian people. I just want to clarify.
But that's kind of why I would love to hear, like, what do the people actually think of this situation? Like,
I totally agree.
How do you guys feel? Because it really is, the media really is framing it here in America as though Brazil, like, is like, fuck you guys, I don't want any help.
Yeah.
Like, don't come in here. It is a colonist, like, colonizer attitude.
Yeah.
And is that really what you guys are thinking, or do you want aid to help put out these fires? Like, what's up?
Yeah, I agree. I would love to hear more of that. On a lighter note, did you hear, well, we posted about Laura Spencer from Good Morning America and what she said about Prince George taking ballet classes.
What the fuck?
Yeah, so for those of you who haven't seen it, she is talking about Prince George's, like, new school curriculum, and he's taking, you know, science and math and all the usual classes. And then she's like, and he's taking ballet. And everyone's laughing. Oh, it's so funny. And it really was, like, it seemed like a grown woman bullying this child for something that he really enjoys.
How the fuck in 2019 is that
exactly
a bet that you think is going to be safe for you?
Yeah, like, exactly. And so the next day she actually did take to Instagram and apologize. But during that time, when, like, the day of when it was getting crazy viral, a bunch of dancers, male dancers, got together, specifically these two male dancers, Charlie Williams and Sam Quinn, and they arranged this open air dance class in front of the Good Morning America studios in Times Square. And then Laura Spencer sat down with several famous male dancers, including Travis Wall, who is an amazing choreographer.
Yes, I remember him from, like, So You Think You Can Dance.
He choreographs for them now too. Fabice Kalmels and Robbie Fairchild, and they kind of were able to speak their minds about it, and she apologized and said that she, you know, she does think that people should be able to do what they want and, like, do what they love.
You know what?
Yada, yada.
I get kind of sick of this fucking cycle, though, where, like, you get called out for some fucked up shit you said, and now you're sorry about it. Where I'm like, you should have never said it in the first place.
Yeah.
Most normal, it's 2019. Most normal brains shouldn't even be thinking that way.
Yeah, she,
like,
should have
an antiquated notion.
She should have done the opposite and said, I think it's really great that we have a young boy in a place of power who's enjoying his time doing ballet, because I know so many young boys may be teased about it.
Right.
That would have been a better way to go
also,
about it.
And also, like, isn't it amazing that this school's curriculum, like, allows that? Like, isn't that incredible? You live in New York City.
Yeah.
Like, how
the land of dance and musical theater.
It's so like strange to me that that would be something that she would even think about. Like, that is a position that she would even hold, given that like there are so many male dancers in New York.
Yeah.
And they're insanely, insanely talented. And it's just, it's such an archaic view. Like, I thought we got over this with fucking Billy Elliot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In like when that movie came out in the fucking 80s or 90s or whatever. Like, what are you doing?
Well, and it was interesting because I was actually watching this week's episode of So You Think You Can Dance before I came here. And there's this dancer named Gino who I'm obsessed with. He was on Dance Moms when he was younger, and now he's like killing it on the show. And he did a really, really beautiful contemporary piece with his female partner. And the executive producer and creator of the show, Nigel Lithgow, as he was giving his positive praise for this dance for Gino and his partner, he was kind of like, Gino, have you ever taken ballet classes? And he goes, all my life. And Nigel kind of took the moment to express how horrible it was for somebody to chastise a boy for wanting to take dance, and how he has a 4-year-old nephew who loves taking ballet classes, and how it just warms his heart and it's so beautiful. And I didn't write it down because I literally watched this like right before I came here, but Gino said something where he was just like, basically, not in the words I'm about to say, but basically like, I'm proud of it. Like, I want to be the change. I want, like, look at what I'm doing.
Well, some of the most talented dancers I know are men.
That's what I think, like, about figure skating, too. A lot of the male figure skaters are, like, insane.
Yeah, so I just, I don't know. I just think that this is insane. And, like, we talked about women in sports, and I think we also, like, touched on gendering sports at that time. And we also did an episode on gendering children where we touched on that as well. But to me, look, like, a sport is a sport. Like, you are pushing your body.
But people don't think of dance as a sport.
But it, I mean, okay, it's not a sport in the same way that, like, there are other sports, but it is a, you are pushing your body to these, like, limits.
I would say it's still very athletic.
It's incredibly athletic. Like, it's an insane talent. I have been doing musical theater all of my life. I have been in dance. I'm in dance class right now. I'm still not a good dancer. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's this athleticism and this talent.
Yeah, that, this, like, natural ability.
That you have to be a good dancer.
Yeah.
And why we would ever gender that whenever everyone has been given, like, different gifts. Yeah. You know what I mean? And, like, if your gift is to, like, be a great dancer, that should never be gendered.
Right. You should never, like, if you're good at something and you enjoy it, like, that's taking something valuable away from, like, the
everybody.
World
yeah.
to enjoy. Like, when you explore your talents and show people your talents, you're bringing other people joy.
And also, male dancers have existed
forever
and always will, and so it's just a fucking weird thing that we're even having this conversation.
It's
in 2019
so,
like, it's just a weird thing.
Very. Do you have anything else, Keegan?
That's it. That's all I got.
Awesome, you guys. Thank you so much for listening to another mini episode. If you have any sister solidarity stories, if you have any comments on this week's episode, if you have anything that you want to say to us, go ahead and email us at neighborhoodfeminist@gmail.com. Get us on Instagram. You can direct message us there as well at Angry Neighborhood Feminist. We have a Twitter that we sometimes use at YANF Podcast.
YANF
Podcast. We have a Facebook business and group page. Go ahead and rate and review us on our business page. You can also rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We would really love it.
Love it.
Love it so much. If you don't already, go ahead and listen to us on Radio Public. It's a free way for you to listen. Helps us out just a little bit. So again, thank you so much for listening. With all of that being said, we encourage you to rage on. Bye-bye.
Bye.